From the Jackalope Studios, high above the city in the beautiful Barrie View Castle, welcome to the Harmony Health Hour, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body, with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright.
You're not the only one I've ever had, and if I say I want to set you free, don't you know you'll be in misery? They call me
Dr. Love.
They call me Dr. Love.
Call me Dr. Love.
I've got the cure you're thinking of.
Call me Dr. Love.
Hey, it's Friday night on Jackalope Radio. This is Dr. Drumright coming at you. I tell you what, love cures all. Love cures all. Hey, we're going to cover a couple of verses 53 and 54 in the Tao Te Ching tonight. Then we're going to hit some highlights of local news. Well, oh my goodness, there's so much crazy news going on out there. And then we got a special treat for you tonight. I know a couple weeks ago I mentioned the video, the Wayseers, and we're going to bring that up for you. Really excited about showing that to you, and we're going to work about bringing some of the Wayseer organization onto the radio show sometime in the near future. I really like what these people are talking about, and I think you'll agree with me here in a few minutes. And then if we have time after that, we're going to delve into some technical stuff about cholesterol and different types of things that I've been seeing people being talked about and shot around between the medical communities lately, and I want to display a few more myths and make sure that I help you become your own doctor and just keep up educating yourself about your own body and what makes it tick and what makes you all happy. It's a sunny day here in Kansas City. It's going to be 90 degrees tomorrow and then thunderstorms and 50 the day after that, and if you like weather, we live in the right place, that's for sure. All right, Todd. So let's get started here, and we'll move over to the Tao Te Ching, which Tao means way, by the way. So this book is The Way of Changes, the book of the way. We're on verse number 53. Not yet on the way. Those who have the smallest grain of wisdom would want to walk the simple path of the great integrity. Their only fear would be to go astray. Indeed, there is a good reason to fear when most of the world is plied into two wagons, racing toward each other on a single-lane road. In one overcrowded wagon is the vast majority who live in weedy fields with empty granaries. In the other wagon are those whose garments are opulently embroidered. They gorge themselves on rich foods far beyond their appetites and guzzle their inebriating drinks far beyond their thirst. They accumulate wealth even beyond their various avaricious cravings while armed to the teeth against their starving neighbors. Surely such thievish degradation couldn't be the way to the great integrity. Dr. Dale's commentary. What could be more in contradiction to the great integrity than our civilizations, which for the past few thousand years have been divided into overprivileged and underprivileged, with these inequities maintained by armed police, courts, and prisons called our system of justice? The last line which acknowledges the impossibility of such a depraved way of life ever leading to the great integrity is rhymed out of deference to the original, which puts a pun on the word Tao, which is both the Chinese word for the great integrity as well as the word for thievery, with both meanings of Tao utilizing the same intonation, the fourth tone. Now, that's interesting stuff. You know, it's always when I read these things, it just overwhelms me how I get to these verses that were written down 4,000 years ago in a culture far, far away, almost like it's so far, far from now, it's like a different planet. And yet what he's saying is exactly apropos and applicable to what's going on right now.
You want to know why I think that is, Dr. D? Because no matter how much time and how much space separate us, we're all the same. We're all connected. And we're the same beings now that we were then.
Mm-hmm.
We just altered the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem comes in.
We think we know too much.
Yes.
And I like the way it's been called. It's the ego. It's the disease of ego. When mankind began to dominate the planet instead of living with the planet, and that's when we lost our way. That's when we started thinking of ourselves as greater or higher than the world that we find ourselves in, and in that separate and distinction or pulling ourselves away to put ourselves in dominance over it, our fears get expressed and our ego gets expressed and we lose our way. We fall off of the path and fall into greed and obsessions and consumptive behaviors instead of productive behaviors. You see in the world today, one of the, probably historically speaking, one of the worst examples of a division in class of the ultra rich and everybody else. You've seen over the last several years an acceleration of the destruction of the middle class across America. Interesting, the paradox of that, though, is you go into the Chinese culture and study what's going over there right now. They have an opulent consumption boom going on in China right now. The young middle class only have, with the single child law that's been in place for over 20 years now, you've got a population of 20-somethings that are single children born to two families that have come together for them. So they have access to the wealth of multi-generations all piled down into this one person. And they're running into major problems with this because these kids are spoiled rotten. I heard something today. These kids were at a Chinese shopping mall buying a $400 Gucci belt, and they were worried about what it goes with. And the attitude was very scary because these teenagers were like, why do I buy it? Because it's fun to buy it. You know, why do I get all this wealth from my parents, and you know it's my job to spend it. Well, don't you worry about the poor people. Well, the people that have money have it because they deserve it. The people that don't have money don't have it because they deserve it. You know, and this is coming out of the Chinese youth, a very almost Western egotistical kind of thing, you know, it is the way it is, and that's the way it is, and it's not my job to do anything else about it. So when we in the West, we have this issue with China owning our debt and China having some kind of upper hand on us. But ultimately, in the not-too-distant future, you're going to see a bubble in the Chinese culture because their hard work generations are getting older, just like our baby boomers are getting older, but their younger generation don't want to work and don't need to work because their economy is in a boom. The value of the property is going up. All the wealth is being spread out. There's a lot of stimulus going on there. So you got a young generation who, as a society, have been suppressed since Mao Zedong in the 1950s and 60s. So you've had two generations that were suppressed severely. And now you've got a generation that's seeing its freedom, but it's seeing its freedom without guidance. The Tao Te Ching, the stuff that we're reading here and reviewing from the ancient Chinese knowledge, is not being passed down to this next generation of Chinese people. So you're seeing a generation of Chinese people that are thinking like Americans, and now you're seeing a generation of Americans that, because of our we're over the peak, we're losing our affluence, we're pulling back into more of a local type phenomenon. We're moving back into this philosophical, I need to take care of myself and take care of my neighbors. And you see, just like Lao Tzu talks about, everything's a big circle. It just keeps rolling around and around and around. But with the internet and the interconnectivity, like right now I'm talking to people around the planet, this kind of technology, not only does it accelerate things and make all these circles go faster, but I believe it's leading us to a grand cohesion or grand embeddingness or inbraiding of all the different cultures, as we all look at each other. And like you said earlier, we are all the same. We're all attracted to the flame. We all want shelter. We want love. We want to be belonging. We want family. We all want the same thing. It's just that we have different opportunities and ways to get to it. And this verse number 53 really lays out that the grandiose consumptive behavior is not the way to the great integrity. In the end, and I say this to patients all the time, no matter what we do as a doctor, I can't save lives. I can help extend lives, but in the end, you're going to die. We're all going to die. That's how it works. So what you got to do is evaluate what you can take with you or what you don't take with you. And if you can't take it with you after you die, lose your body, then it really wasn't that important in the first place. It's the people in your life that are important, not the things. And I really, really, I live that now, And I can tell you that the peace in your heart and the smiles you get with when you interact with people, and the benefits that you can do for other people when you come at it with love in your heart and without fear in your heart. People look at you like you're brave, but you're not. I'm not brave. I see how it is, and I'm just want to express it with love and not have any fear, because I've had a great life. So if I were not here tomorrow, I'm all cool with that, because I live now and in the moment. I'm going to live it to my best now. And tomorrow I'll be there with honor. My memories will be in honor because I live with honor today. All right. Verse number 54. We'll clear up this and then we'll take that first break. And Todd, you said when we take the first break, we're going to watch that Wayseers video, right?
Yeah, we're going to let everyone hear it.
Okay, then you can just hear it because it's radio. I forget. We're not video here. We're radio.
That's good. They'll get to hear all that.
Yeah, it's great music. I love it. I play it on my Facebook probably about once a day. It's an excellent, excellent piece. So verse number 54. The whole is each part. Whatever is planted deeply is not easily uprooted. Whatever is embraced sincerely does not crave escape. Ever since we lost our intuition as our main guide in life, these virtues have had to be consciously cultivated to survive. Cultivate them in yourself, and they will be genuine. Cultivate them in your family, and they will surely flourish. Cultivate them in your community, and they will be long-lasting. Cultivate them in your country, and they will be widely propagated. Cultivate them in the world, and they will certainly become universal. In this way, you will know others by what you do yourself. You will know families by what you contribute as a family. You will know the world by what you do as a planetary citizen. How do we know all this? Because we know that each part is the whole, and the whole is in each part. Didn't you just say that, Todd?
I did.
It's like intuition. It's like, okay, the next verse, we're going to talk about that. So what's he talking about? Planting deeply is not easily uprooted. Embracing sincerely. So we're talking about deep roots, wholesomeness, sincerely. Don't do things for real. Don't do things with an alternative motor. Don't do things like you're going to get profit off of this. Don't do things because you're trying to get something out of somebody. You know, when you look at somebody, look them in the eye, shake their hand. That's another person. That's you staring back at you. There's nothing you can do to hurt another person that doesn't hurt yourself, because they are you. Everything outside is a reflection of inside. Dr. Dale, there are three main insights shared in this verse. One, that once we all practice the great integrity, this was in prehistoric times when we were one with nature and each other. Two, that now that we have lost our intuition as our main guide to decision making, the only way we can reestablish our integrity is through the conscious cultivation of alternative behaviors. Three, that if we are to acquire a truly holistic consciousness, it cannot be done only through self-enlightenment, or only by creating a more democratic political structure. We must transform and transcend at every level, as individuals, as families, as communities, and as a planetary village. The further implication here is that there is no sequential formula that will work. That is, individual enlightenment will not by itself lead to planetary community, nor will institutional change by itself lead to our transformation from selfies to integral personalities. All levels of transformation must evolute in tandem, because we know that each part is the whole, and the whole is in each part.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. It just leaves me speechless at the end of these. I just want to take a deep breath and just soak that up. I mean, these things are phenomenal.
They are.
81 verses, you know, and we're moving right through it. We're at verse number 54. Are we ready to set up that break, Tom?
I've got it.
Awesome. This is a just an excellent listen to it. This is for all you misfits out there and all you people that just feel like you don't belong, and you've had that feeling your whole life. Well, guess what? You're special, and listen to this music, and we'll talk about it later.
Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world. Unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible, and this threatens authority. You were born to be a revolutionary.
establishment, and it wants them eliminated. So your whole life you've been told your strengths or weaknesses. Now I'm telling you otherwise. Your impulsivity is a gift. Impulses are your key to the miraculous. Your distractibility is an artifact of your inspired creativity. Your mood swings reflect the natural pulse of life. They give you unstoppable energy when you're high, and deep soulful insight when you're low. Been diagnosed with a disorder? That's society's latest way to deny its own illness by pointing the finger at you. Your addictive personality is just a symptom of your vast, underused capacity for heroic creative expression and spiritual connection. Your utter lack of repression, your wide-eyed idealism, your unmitigated open mind. Didn't anyone ever tell you? These are the traits shared by the greatest pioneers and visionaries, innovators, revolutionaries, procrastinators, and drama queens, activists on the social scene, space cadets and mavericks, philosophers and derelicts, business suits flying fighter jets, football stars and sex addicts, celebrities with ADD, alcoholics who seek novelty, first responders, prophets and saints, mystics and JJJs. We substrate of the cosmos. It guides the very current of time and space. The way is known by some as the will of God, divine providence, the Holy Spirit, the implicate order, the Tao, reverse entropy, life force. But for now, we'll simply call it the way. The way is reflected in you as the source of your inspiration, the source of your passions, your wisdom, your enthusiasm, your intuition, your spiritual fire, love. The way takes the chaos out of the universe and breathes life into it, giving it divine order. The way, when expressed by the mind, is genius. When perceived through the eyes, is beauty. When felt through the senses, is grace. The flame. Wayseers have an unexplainable knack for just knowing the way. They sense it in their very being. They can't tell you why or how they arrived at the right answer. They just know it in their core. They can't show their work, so don't ask. Their minds simply resonate with the way. When the way is present, so are they. Society begs you to ignore it. The way stirs you inside. Neurological repression blocks most people's awareness of the way. Censoring all thoughts and impulses from the unconscious is their prefrontal cortex, the Gestapo of the brain. Nothing which violates its socialized programming even gets through. But your mind is different. Your mind has been cracked wide open to the way by some miraculous genetic trait, some psychotropic chemical, or maybe even by the will of your own soul. Your brain's reward pathways have been hijacked. Dopamine employed to overthrow the fascist dictatorship of your prefrontal cortex. Now your brain is free of repression. Your mind free of censorship. Your awareness exposed to the turbulent seas of the unconscious. Through this open doorway, divine light shines into your consciousness, showing you the way. This is what makes you a wayseer. 90%.
1% of human civilization is populated with those whose brains are blocked to the way. Their brains are hardwired to enforce the social programming indoctrinated since birth. Unlike you, they cannot break out of this programming, because they have not yet experienced the necessary revolution of mind. These programmed people take social institutions and rules very seriously. Society is full of games programmed to keep people's minds occupied so they will not revolt. These games often cause sick fixations on peculiar protocols, power structures, taboos, and domination. All subtle forms of human bondage. This distinct form of madness is not only tolerated by the masses, but insisted upon. The programmed ones believe in rules so forcefully, they become willing to destroy anyone who violates them. Wayseers are the ones who call their bluff. Since wayseer minds are free to reject social programming, wayseers readily see these social institutions for what they are: imaginary games. Wayseers comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Helping those who are lost in these games and refuse to help themselves is the calling of many wayseers. Since wayseers are the ones who keep contact with the original source of reality, they are able to disrupt societal conventions and even governments to realign humanity with the way. The wayseers are an ancient lineage, a kind of priesthood, carriers of the flame, ones in the know. There must always be wayseers to reform the dizzying, psychotic spinning wheels of society. Giant, mindless hamster wheels obscuring the pure blue sky, keeping humanity shackled in a darkened cage. So wayseers are called to shed light on the madness of society, to continually resurrect the timeless, transcendent spirit of truth. Wayseers reveal this divine truth by devoting themselves to the birth of some creative or disruptive act, expressed through art or philosophy, innovations in shake of industry, revolutions for democracy, coups that topple hypocrisy, movements of solidarity, changes that leave a legacy, rebellions against policy, spirit-infused technology, moments of clarity, things that challenge barbarity, watersheds of sincerity, momentous drives for charity. We are all the same, you know, 'cause we're all affected by the way. We are all the same, you know, 'cause we're all attracted to the flame. Your calling, wayseer. You found your tribe. Welcome home.
You're listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
Wow. Love rules, man. I love that song. I tell you, I've played this song to a number of people, and you know, he talks about in the song that only 10% of people are wayseers, but I'm telling you, in the world today, in the 21st century, 2011, that number is growing. I think that the other 90% are locked up in their prefrontal cortex and living by fear and living by regiment. More and more, and especially the younger generation, are opening up and unlocking and having the courage to allow their brains to unlock and look beyond what the vision that's right in front of them. I was talking to somebody the other day about the Duke University study about the kids playing basketball. Todd, did I ever tell you about that? It was a number of years ago that Duke University did this video study where they took six college kids, three of them in white t-shirts and three of them in black t-shirts, and they give each group of kids a basketball. And you're watching this. Now, you guys can look this up on the web, too. Just look up Duke University basketball study. And they give each group of kids a basketball, and your job is to, for 20 seconds, watch the kids in the black t-shirts and count how many times they pass the basketball. So the whistle blows, they start passing the basketball, and you're watching them juke and jive and jump around and twist around between everybody, and the basketball's passing back and forth and bouncing and running around. 20 seconds goes up, boom. I counted 14 times they passed the basketball. So the next slide comes up on the website, and it says how many times, 12, 13, 14, or 15. I clicked 14, and then the next one pops up and says, okay, that's good enough. I'm like, good enough? And what kind of test is this? They said, that's good enough. Now, did you see anything else in that video? Like a mouse or a cat or some kind of animal or anything else did you see in the video? Have you heard about this one, Todd?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. You know, I took the test before it became known around, and it really shook me about what's going on. They said, now hit the back button and go back and watch this video again. Now, I'm going to ruin it for you if I tell you what happened in there, if you haven't seen this yet. Maybe I ought to just save that and have you guys go look that up. And next week, I'll tell you what's really going on in there. What do you think, Todd? Should I tell him?
I think you can go ahead and tell him because it is a proven point. It's a very it's a very important thing.
Yeah, more than 95% of the people that watched this in the original experiment, and they did it in large crowds of people as well, and you're sitting there in front of a whole audience of people that are doing this experiment, and you know, you think maybe I saw a mouse. I don't know. I was watching a basketball. You know, I was busy. So you hit the backspace and you go back and watch the video again. This time you're not watching the basketball. And just a couple of seconds into the video, this guy in a big gorilla costume walks in from the right-hand side of the screen, stands right in the middle of the kids playing basketball for about 5 to 10 seconds going, and shaking, you know, goofing around there, and then slowly strolls off to the left edge of the screen. You did not see that gorilla.
You know what's weird? What's weird is I did the first time I watched that.
Did you?
I did see the gorilla. Well, because you know, as a filmmaker, I think I just used... You know, I'm used to using the whole...
Right, seeing around the whole screen of things. I tell you, I'm a doctor. I am trained how to be observant, how to diagnose and how to watch subtleties in people's gait and the way they move and you know, what their bodies are telling them. And I missed it. And so it was embarrassing for me. But when they said that more than 95% people missed this, the thing that's striking about this is the prefrontal cortex, like the video talks about here, coming up the brainstem through the eyes, through the ears, and the different sensors, they say you have about 3 billion different signals that are coming into the brain at any one particular moment. The frontal cortex and the portions of the brain that kind of filter this down knock it down to about 20,000 bits of information at any one instant. Now, that's a lot of bits of information compared to a computer, but compared to 3 billion, it's very limited. So you have these processes inside your brain that filter out experiences and information and signals that don't cooperate and coordinate with your expected environment. You see, when you're looking around you right now, you're in a familiar environment, so your brain is basically turned off to anything and everything in the environment that is foreign to that. There is a story of the Native American Indians when the Spanish first started coming over here, and there was a tribe of Indians on the, I don't know what island it was, and I can't remember the exact story, but the Spanish were coming ashore, and the Indians didn't know where they were coming from. They just kind of appeared out of nowhere, so they were considered as gods because these peers were really funny-looking people, and they're right in your face, but where did they come from? The natives... Even though these Spanish Armada ships, these giant sailing ships, were sitting there in the harbor, the natives could not see it because it was so foreign to their brain's expectation of what reality is supposed to be. When they looked out across the waves, they absolutely did not see these giant ships sitting there. One day, a shaman or a wise man of the group was looking at the waves, which was something that he did recognize because they're familiar with waves, and he was seeing wave patterns that were not normal. And his eyes traced the wave patterns back to where they must be coming from, and staring at this spot on the sea that had funny wave patterns around it, the image of this European ship began to form in his mind, and he began to accept this vision that was so far out is normal that he could not see it up until this point. And it took something of natural observation, the waves, to bring it into reality for him. And once he saw this monster, this absolutely atrocity that to his senses, he began pointing it out to the other villagers, and then the Spanish had a lot harder time pulling into ports because the natives started seeing them coming and actually attacking the ships and trying to keep them off the shore versus just wondering, you know, like there's some god that just walked in off anywhere. Your brain can play tricks with you. If you're not paying attention, and even if you're paying attention too much, the moral of this story is your prefrontal cortex blocks off anything that's not expected. So when you're going through life in a box, there can be a gorilla standing right in front of you, picking your pocket, putting you in a cage. You could be sitting inside a barred cage right now. And because your brain doesn't accept that as normal, you will not see it. It's right there in front of you, a gorilla standing right in front of you, and you don't see it. So this isn't subtle. This isn't somebody coming and picking your pocket or somebody, you know, that's sneaking up on you. No, they know the way your brain works. And they know that 90% of you out there are so ingrained in your expected life of what's about to happen, what has happened, what you think is going to happen tomorrow, that they can absolutely run a train right across your front porch and you won't even know it. That's some scary stuff. And what I like about the Wayseers is the Wayseers are people that are outside the box, you know, and even I like to call myself a Wayseer. I took the test. I'm 90% effective on the Wayseer. I still, when somebody tells me to follow the basketball, I get intent on following the basketball and I miss the gorilla. That's scary stuff. So what I encourage you all to do is make sure that you don't focus on the basketball so much. You know, look at the whole picture. Look around. See what's in all the corners. I mean, let the world express itself to you and be engaged with it, because the external universe and your internal universe are simply reflections of each other. If your internal universe is blocked off in this little box, then the only thing you're going to experience on the external world is a reflection of that box that is erected in the neurons inside your brain. I hope and pray that there's more Wayseers than 10% out there. And even if not, though, if that video strikes you and you felt an emotional charge coming from that and a kind of a belonging, then you and I are brothers in the Wayseer manifest. The way is the great integrity, as Lao Tzu and Dr. Dale talks about in the past, is a wonderful way to begin to think about things, to begin to embrace a paradox of both individualism, because you are separate and distinct as the observer being, but also as a holism, to where you are a part of something much bigger than yourself, not a subject to it, but actual and equal interaction portion of the great integrity that you find yourself surrounded in. Good stuff. I hope you all enjoyed that. All right. So we want to change the topic a little bit here. Todd, we don't have a clock here in the studio, so you're going to have to keep track of me for me on the commercial breaks and that kind of stuff. I know that Jackalope Radio, are you doing a fundraiser for Japan? Is that...
Yeah, we're trying to help out. We're giving the money to UNICEF. 100% of the proceeds go to Japan. And to do that, you just go – I kind of eliminated all the rigmarole. There's not three clicks. You just go to the front page. Mm-hmm. You'll see the banner Jackalope Gives Back. You hit the buy now, and you're done.
Oh, so you could go to jackalope.com.
Jackaloperadio.com.
Jackaloperadio.com. And then right at the top of that is a banner.
Right. Well, it's down underneath the main station stuff. Mm-hmm. It's right down there.
Okay, and you click that, and then can you use PayPal to do that, or is it just a credit card?
You can do either. If you're not a PayPal member, you can just click it and then say not a PayPal member and put in your credit card.
Cool. Now, I would actually encourage anybody out there that's not on PayPal. PayPal is a wonderful way to be anonymous in the world.
Yeah, it has been a nightmare trying to do this. They stopped me for about a week and a half from sending my funds to UNICEF because there's so many people out there that rip people off. And I actually had my account frozen, which is also connected to my bank account and everything else. Mm. PayPal's been a pain in my butt. And I said, look, we're trying to help people here. I went through a big fight. So after all that grief, I hope someone actually uses this and gives a little bit out of their heart to help the people in Japan.
Excellent. So PayPal was worried that you were trying to collect the money yourself.
Yeah, I had to get a letter and show them all that. But they were just pains in the butt. They just... You know, it was just insane.
Well, you're dealing with the bank industry. I mean,
it didn't used to be that way, but now, thanks to the Obama administration, now they've got their hands in even PayPal.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. See, my PayPal account is so old. I mean, it's about 10 years old, back when they first started it. So it's very anonymous. And I guess as long as I don't do anything like set up a...
Try to help anyone. Don't try to help anybody. Then Obama's got a problem.
Yeah. So that goes to a UNICEF, a legitimate organization. The money goes straight over to Japan. Do they have people on the ground there, or what are they?
They do, and 100% of all the proceeds is going to help. That's the thing I like about it. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, me too, because of the administration costs, when they eat up your fundraisers, it just almost totally defeats the whole point. I mean,
it does. That's the Red Cross's problem. They pay all these people. They got all these volunteers, but they're still paying all these people. And I'm right. Like, there goes all the money right there.
Right. It goes into administration costs. What did you really accomplish? Well, you employed some people, I guess, but you really didn't get any kind of help where your goodwill was intended to go. So I want to talk about something on the Japanese thing, and I don't want to, you know, be a gloom and doom or anything like this, but there's some information that people need to talk about that is not being talked about in any kind of media outlet. I watched some geology sites and during my studies throughout the day, and there have been, and you can check this stuff out, just look up, go to some of the American Geology and the Global Geology, do some research around there, and you found that there's been 924, Todd, since March 11th, the big quake, there's been 924 4.6 or greater earthquakes along a couple hundred mile stretch of eastern Japan. 924 in less than 20 days. I mean, so what is that, like 50 a day or something like that?
Too damn many.
That's a lot of earthquakes. And you look at the time prior to the big one in the 9.0 on March 11th, it was more like 2 or 3 a day, not 50 to 60 a day. Now, at the same time, there's volcanoes going off on the west side of the Japanese island. So you're building up mass on one side of this. And if you look at go to Google Maps and look at Japan, and about 110 kilometers off the eastern coast of Japan is a trench. It's a drop-off. And this drop-off is the plate region where the Pacific plate is lipped over the top of the Asian plate, Eurasian plate, is lipped over the top of the Pacific plate right there. And this is a place of a lot of geological, very dynamic movement here. They were talking about that why you're seeing so many earthquakes all along this area is because that whole land there, now this cliff is over 2 miles tall that goes down into the ocean right here. And this whole region is honeycombed with volcanic vents from millions of years ago, and as the earth evolves, this whole area is filled with volcanic vents. Some of the vents are filled with magma that are really hard, but most of the vents were gaseous vents that are hollow. So think of it as a sponge. So along the east coast of Japan, you have this giant sponge that's collapsing. The hundreds of earthquakes are these honeycombed vents, deep volcanic vents, that are all collapsing along the east coast of this island, Japan, and along the west coast is a buildup of new volcanic material. So you're getting a weight distribution problem right here on the planet, and then you're seeing a plate shift going on. These geologists are talking about what we're witnessing here is the sinking of the island that we call Japan, the whole island. Not just a little bit of it. The whole island is apparently sinking into the sea. Now, they're talking about there's two options going on here. One, it's going to sink slowly into the sea, and that's what we all pray for. But the other is a catastrophic collapse where the entire island of Japan, the main island of Japan, falls into the sea all at once. Now, if that were to happen, the tidal waves that would ring the Pacific Rim, several of them, not one, they're saying on the order of 1,000 feet tall, tidal waves running back and forth across the Pacific after the entire island of Japan falls in the ocean. Now that's like crazy Hollywood thinking. I mean, how can you even go there? But these are geologists. These aren't, you know, science fiction guys. These aren't, you know, the media trying to hype stuff up. And these are guys that are watching the planet and watching the earthquakes. And these are the guys having these discussions about the island of Japan falling into the sea. Oh, man, that is not a scenario that I even want to imagine beyond just looking at the scientific possibilities here, friends. We're going to take another break here, and then we'll come back and we'll change the topic a little bit more. But my prayers go out to you guys in Japan. I mean, God bless you, and you guys stay with the way and stay functioning over there. I mean, that's a hard place to live right now. The Mother Earth is the natural law is not does not have a what I'm trying to say. It doesn't think in human thoughts. It's just the Earth is what it is, and we just happen to live on it. Let's take a break. I'll see you in a few minutes. This is Dr. Drumright and JackalopeRadio.com.
Listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
All right, we're back. This is Dr. Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour. All right, guys, just one last minute for you guys in Japan. I tell you what, guys, Mother Earth is not forgiving, so if you have any way of getting out of Japan, if I gave you any kind of recommendation at all, I would say definitely take a break, take a vacation, get out of there for a while and see if that stuff doesn't settle down. Because with 50 earthquakes a day, I mean, there's no sign of it settling down anytime soon. It's not a good place to be living and raising a family right now. Even with all the traditions and the wonderful things, I mean, the last thing I want to see is a culture like that uprooted like it is. But, you know, there's a time when you got to just kind of call it. And with all my love, I tell you, please consider leaving. Come over here. Find someplace else to be.
Yeah, if they would let him, you know. I don't know if they'd let him come over here because we've got such pain in the butt things going on with that.
Well,
right,
true enough. You got to have our board of security. Hey, but our government shuts down tonight, Todd.
Well, good.
Yep. You know,
maybe we can get our station up and running. I'll just go over and take over the FCC for a while.
I was thinking about that today. You know, the FCC's blocking stuff, but if the federal government shuts down, there is no FCC, right? So we can just turn on the FM radio and just start broadcasting whatever the heck we want to broadcast.
I'm ready.
I was talking to a guy on Facebook today. He's a friend of mine, but he's a pro-government, or he thinks government is good for you because they give you money and they give you this and they give you that. And he's saying, look, oh, boo-hoo, the Tea Party people are making the government close down. You know, we're not going to have these free handouts, and the Small Business Administration is going to close down and all this boo-hoo stuff. And I told him, he puts a post up, he goes, look at all the small businesses that are going to suffer tremendously from not having the government around. I was like, well, what do you mean? No more licensing, no more certification restrictions,
no more taxing,
no
the
more
hell out of
taxing,
us?
No more forms, no more. I said, what's wrong with that? And you know what? This is a guy who is very argumentative towards being a pro-government, a socialist. He calls himself a socialist. He wrote back, he goes, wow, that's a good point. Because he's a small businessman too. So you see, the way Sears and the way we talk about stuff, about coming from love, it's not coming from an argument. It's not coming from left-right paradigm. It's not me against you. We are all the same. But what we have to do is we have to open our hearts and show people how to be courageous in your own creativity, in your own abilities to make the future the brightest place it can possibly be. And you're not going to get there standing in some government line. You're not going to get there waiting on the next handout. You're going to get there by planting seeds. You're going to get there by talking to your family. You're going to get there by meeting your neighbors and organizing yourselves locally, not waiting for some administrative certification license board that's going to standardize everything and put it in the right order so that you fill out this form here and stand in that line over there and everything's going to be fine, son. Get back in line. I think the best thing that can happen to America is this government shuts down. I mean, just shut it down. I know there's going to be hardship, but you know what? If we don't shut it down, then there's going to be even more hardship, because the direction that they're driving this so-called free society is right down the drain. They've totally lost connection to the great integrity, and totally lost connection to humanity, to a touch on touch, flesh on flesh, look me in the eye. I'm real, you're real, let's do something good here. They've disconnected from that. They just want your ID. They want your number. They don't even want to know who you are. And that's wrong. That is not right. It's not American, and it needs to be shut down. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. You know? Okay. So I didn't get a little talk much about health tonight, so I got several pages here that we can show through. Let's see. I was going to talk about cholesterol a little bit tonight and about some of the things that cause heart disease, and that's a whole big topic on itself. I think I'm going to save most of this for next time. But one thing just to top it off is that I need you to be thinking that the cholesterol numbers are completely skewed towards selling you drugs. They're not setting up low cholesterol numbers for your health. They're setting up cholesterol numbers to sell you drugs. So whatever you go to, when you go to the doctor, be careful of lots of complicated examinations and lots of complicated stuff. I had a patient in the day who's got a herniated disc, but they weren't sure, so they did MRIs, and now they're thinking about doing some contrast CAT scans, and then they want to do some more blood work, and they're looking at possible autoimmune problems, and they've put him on like 6 different medications to try to numb him out, and all this because he threw his back out a couple months ago. You know, the body signals to you're the captain, you own the ship, you live in the ship. The body has to tell you when it has a problem. Don't be afraid of pain when the pain comes. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to investigate. It's something to look into. It's something to poke on and twist and figure out what you do that makes it talk to you more, what you do to make it talk to you less. If it hurts when you move, then it's probably mechanical. Go see a chiropractor. If it hurts all the time, whether you move or not move, you might want to go get some blood work. But the idea here is, if we're going to fix the healthcare system in America and in the world, you've got to start learning how to take care of yourself. It's not complicated. The information is on the internet. you've been taught that you got to go to the experts and let them do all that stuff, and you just keep working and paying your taxes. I'm telling you just the opposite. You have been blessed with the ownership of a magical thing called a human body, a population of over 2 trillion cells that are constantly replacing themselves. They obey your every command. You say get up, they get up. You say sit down, they sit down. It's an amazing relationship you have here, and I want you to start learning about it. Do the research. Look up blood pH. Look up on the cholesterol. Somebody's telling you you have heart disease. Your numbers have to be over 260 before I'm ever concerned about cholesterol being a problem. They tell you 200. They tell you 180. All that does is sell more drugs. And the statin drugs that they want to sell you to lower your cholesterol actually increase your risk of heart attack, increase your risk of cancer, increase your risk of a number of problems, hardening of the arteries, hardening of the brain. It lowers your IQ, does all kinds of nasty things to you for a non-symptomatic. You didn't even hurt. You had no problem. You just went to this guy in a lab coat who talks like he knows more than you. He takes some blood, kills the blood, puts it on a slide, and comes back to you and says, oh, we have a problem here. You need to take this or you're going to die. Well, come on. You got to grow up and see a sales pitch when you hear it, okay? Stop trusting the experts. The information is there for you. You become your own expert. There's nothing more important to you than the survival of your own flesh, your own body, and then the survival of your family, and then your community. Stop trusting people in lab coats. Stop trusting people from the government. They're here to help. Stop it. Be responsible for yourself. Do some up-educating. I'm here to talk to you. You can contact me at harmonyhealth.com. You can contact us at jackaloperadio.com. We're here for you, buddy. We're here to help. So it's another Friday night. Weekend's coming on. Here in the Midwest, it's going to be a glorious time. You guys in Japan, God bless you. You know, keep your heads up. You got a great culture over there, good people all around the world. You know, there's a lot of change going on, a lot of change. And I really, really am excited about the direction that the young people are taking this world. I'm here for you. This is Dr. Drumright, Harmony Health Hour. One other show wrapped up. Thank you very much for your time, Todd. I'll see you all later.
As they sail from the shore.